It's here and now, and there's no arguing this. The first truly viral show of 2016 is Making a Murderer. Technically, the Netflix show was released toward the end of 2015, but it's been gaining a lot of momentum through the year. The show is centered on Stephen Avery, a man from Wisconsin who spent 18 years in jail for a rape that he did not commit. But just 2 years after getting out of prison, he was convicted of a murder and sent back to prison for life. The show tries to investigate whether Avery was framed by law enforcement.
Law enforcement despised Stephen Avery. Stephen Avery was a shining example of their inadequacies, their misconduct.
This was one of the biggest miscarriages of justice I ever saw in 20 years of criminal defense work and thousands of cases.
The show's creators spent 10 years working on the series, and joining us now is NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. And David, I hear you've been doing a little binge watching lately.
I would say I did a lot of binge watching lately. I crashed on this over the last week, not for knowing that we would talk, but just being sucked into it by seeing what was said online and then watching it itself.
Because it's so interesting. And tell us a little more about the premise of the show. And is there really any convincing evidence here that could point to a conspiracy?
Well, so you have a guy who spent 18 years in jail for a violent crime, sexual assault that he was later exonerated of committing. That is, that there was evidence that proved he could not have committed that crime. And he was released, and he was on the verge of getting in court what would be have likely been a very financial – significant financial payday from the state of Wisconsin, from the county which he was tried for ignoring and overlooking evidence that seemingly would have suggested that he should not have been tried in the way he was, and he should not have been kept in jail all those years. And just in the weeks as that process was beginning to unfold, he then was accused by local law authorities of a murder of a woman's body that was found on his family's auto salvage yard, which is enormous and sprawling in a relatively remote part of Derry countryside in Wisconsin. And there he was going back to court and being tried by local authorities, not exactly the same folks who had tried him the first time around and that he was suing, but not exactly not either. And you saw in the course of those 10 episodes, a lot of instances in which people who were very much at the core of his allegations of improper use of authority against him for the first imprisonment taking part in this accusation, this investigation, and then in a sense in this prosecution as well.
Well, the details are salacious. I mean, there's no doubt about this. This is a true crime show that sucks you in. It kind of reminds me of Serial on public radio that basically started a podcast revolution. What is it about these true crime shows that we're so drawn to?
Well, think about the stakes. They're life and death. There could not be larger stakes in a sense. They feel very human. They're not life and death at an abstract level. They're about the pain that affects the families of those who have been victimized and the pain that affects the families of those who are then stand trial and fall under suspicion and then in this case go to jail for decades. And it's heartrending to watch all of the family members and all of the people at the core of this. And so the stakes are really sharp. And also the reporters in these cases are performing an immersive journalistic function. You know, These documentary makers for Making of Murder spent 10 years on it. At Serial, folks who had been involved at This American Life really spent so much time on the case in Baltimore that became famous and now in this latest season for the question of Bo Bergdahl.
Well, I want to play a clip from that second season of Serial. This is just from the very first episode. And as you say, the show is investigating the disappearance of Bo Bergdahl.
From This American Life and WBEZ Chicago, it's Serial. One story told week by week. I'm Sarah Koenig.
Good evening, everyone. Ordinarily, the release of an American serviceman after 5 years in wartime captivity would be a cause for universal celebration, joy, plain and simple.
So, David, I know people who were basically turning purple waiting for the next series of Serial to start, just holding their breath for it. But to me, I wonder if there is an argument that could be made that they are walking a line between entertainment and journalism. I mean, is it entertainment? Is it journalism? And can it be both?
These are questions that are argued about in newsrooms and in digital podcasting companies and storytelling sessions all the time. And there are these lines, entertainment, journalism, narrative storytelling. Can we make that Venn diagram all overlap perfectly? We hear music. We hear heightened tension. There are questions, for example, in the movie The Jinx on HBO, the documentary series there, whether you know chronology was moved around a little bit to heighten seeming ironies or things that the viewers couldn't know yet but that were already known to jurors.
Well, and the prosecutor in Making a Murderer says almost the same thing, that the filmmakers weren't presenting the full story here, leaving out key evidence.
Well, they had 10 years of tape to go through, and I have some sympathy for the notion that it's not an encyclopedia. They're not simply putting up a bulletin board and said, here are all the scraps of information presented to the jury. The defense attorney for Stephen Avery told the New York Times that he felt that these were, you know, stray facts that weren't particularly conclusive. Mm-hmm. And I've got to say that that prosecutor – and you know, we're talking about a bunch of spoilers here for listeners, but for that prosecutor, you know, he doesn't end up looking like a complete paragon of virtue on this as well. So you know, I've got to say, I think journalists have to make choices, but viewers have to make choices too about what they trust and what they believe.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik, thank you.
You bet.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Peter O'Dowd in for Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now.